good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. And boy, I'm so glad we're all here today, except for those of us who aren't. But that's okay. Somebody asked me once upon a time, who should I tell? Everyone you can find. That narrows it down a bunch. But anyway, this morning's opening scripture is taken from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10, as printed in the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. And this is a plea for deliverance and forgiveness. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously with cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. And the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now we have time for an opening prayer. And dear Lord, we ask that you be with each of us today. I ask that you make your presence felt among all of us and help us through every challenge that we have not figured out how to handle. And God, we count on you, because if we're left to ourselves, there will be so much that we just don't get to. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. And now, one of the things that we need to do first thing this morning is greet one another, passing the peace of the Lord to one another in his name. Amen. Howdy, y'all.
We're going to have the lighting of the Advent candle, okay? Welcome one another. Therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his peoples, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. To him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
morning, church.
Good morning.
Okay, the affirmation is 886. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate amongst us who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe God.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, and in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gift entrusted to us that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high.
And on earth, peace.
In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Good morning.
Howdy.
How's everybody doing today?
Would you stand for our opening hymn? It came upon a midnight clear. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel songs the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours comes swiftly on the wing. Go rest beside the and hear the angels sing. Congregation, please be seated.
Please join me in our prayer for the offering. And dear God, we thank you that you have already heard everything we're going to say, but we want to say it anyway. So be with us, dear Lord. Be with us right now and accept the offering that we're about to give and make it be sufficient for whatever use you have of it. Be with us, Lord Jesus, this day and forever. Amen.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 38. There will be signs in the room, moon and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity of the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive. Apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable: look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at that temple. These are the words of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
about to say, very mistakenly, of course, that I'm filling in for somebody who isn't here. But that's okay. We will stumble around, trip on our toes, and get things done, and God will appreciate the fact that we gave it our best effort. And we now have two messages coming, and I pray that everyone receive the message that we hear and take it to our communities and pass it on. Pardon? Well, is that better? I was told that I was lit up, and well, okay. I'm wearing several hats, but it doesn't look like it. Okay. Yeah. Can you hear me now? What about now? Can anyone hear me? Well, okay, great. Well, having said all of that, and hey, I'm used to doing that. I've spent 20 years in the Army, the last 10 or 12 of them, nobody heard me. And I thought they were ignoring me, but I just couldn't hear. And Lord, we ask that you be with each of us this morning. Guide us through this day's service. Be with us, dear Lord, and help us to get everything done the way it should be. In your holy name we ask. And Heather, I'll wait for a moment for you to finish.
Good morning. So today is the first day of Advent, but before we get into that, that's a tradition that we have in the church, but I wanted to see if y'all know of what the season is that we're coming upon. Do you know? Christmas. And does the sanctuary look different? Yes. And do you see anything in the sanctuary maybe that you have at your house? What? The wreaths? Okay. Has anybody put up the Christmas tree yet? No? Do you put up a Christmas tree? Yeah? Well, we have a Christmas tree over there, and we have wreaths, and those people put those in their house. We have garland with lights here. Do you know what these flowers are called? Some people call them poinsettias. Some people call them poinsettias. Okay? But I want you to come over here because this is what we're talking about today. But when we come over here, we have to be really careful because this is a candle. We don't want to set anything on fire, and we don't want to be on fire, okay? So come with me. Do we know what this is? Do you know what this is right here? Do you know what these things are right here? Candles, yeah. And that's a wreath, kind of like the thing that's on the wall there, but it's laying down. And so we have, this is called an Advent candle. And today is the first day of Advent, and we're gonna talk about the first candle that was lit to represent hope. Do you know what hope is? Well, it's lit in the hopes that we will have, well, let me read so I don't misread what I'm supposed to say here. So each candle represents a theme for each of the weeks. Hope, peace. So we have hope, peace, love, and joy. And the first candle is a prophecy candle. It represents hope with the anticipation of Christ's coming and recalling his prophets about the Messiah and the hope that he brings to the world. All right? So each week before Christmas, we will light one of these. And then we'll light the very last one on Christmas Day. for Jesus being born. Okay? So let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, as we light the candles on the Advent wreath, may the light of your presence bring us joy to our hearts. Bless our family and friends, and be with all of those who are in need this holiday season. Amen. Have a good week, guys. See you next week.
Kind of new at this, but missing someone. That's okay. We'll get there. Almighty God, I ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight today and always. Things that I have learned many years ago, I have dry mouth, so I need to carry my water with me. You know, there's a story that is told in the Gospel according to Luke that Jesus told to his disciples, and quite commonly it's referred to as the story of the widow's mite. And the writing portrays for us and for all who follow the mindset of how much we should give to our churches, as well as our gifts to the needy charities, which we reflect to one another. Someone may give a short story this morning and invite us to support someone else, and that's okay. The story about the widow and her mite is told by the greatest storyteller that has ever tread the earth. And it's also one that is not copyrighted. It's one that anybody can use at any time. And if you have too much money in your pocket, maybe you need to pretend that the widow needs some and pass it on. I don't know. But as Jesus tells a story, we should never feel overly pressured to give beyond our means. All that does is get us into bigger trouble. And the arrangement of the teachings in Luke chapter 21 may have been intended for several different reasons. Verses 5 and 6 are well written such that they complement the beauty and the gifts which made such decoration of a building possible. The building I'm referring to is the Chapel of St. Anne, and I'll mention that again in a moment. I was a one-time tourist in the Holy Land quite a few years ago, and I say one time because I discovered how much it costs to do it, but that's okay. But there's a lot of buildings that have different uses, and the one, the Chapel of St. Anne, was built obviously for some great things to happen. You can snap your fingers in that building anywhere and it'll echo for a period of time. I didn't realize this until somebody told me, and I just had to find out if that was really true, and it is. And it's large enough that I would say it can seat a couple of hundred reasonably, and it's very close to the temple, and I don't know why it was close to the temple, but, you know, maybe the builder says, this one needs to be up there, I don't know. But the Saint Anne for whom it is dedicated is the mother of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. Anne is Jesus' grandmother. And when I discovered that in the chapel, I felt about that big. Why didn't I know that in advance? Well, you know, I have found for many, many years that it's awful easy to embarrass yourself when you say something you didn't know. But that's okay. But, if that church, that building was designed to be that small, small enough to seat 200 people, it works very well. But a chapel is a small gathering, and it just didn't fit. And I've only been away from that for, I don't know, 20 some odd years, and I'm still amazed at how they named it with such a simple name for such a dignified person. Anyway, it is deep, very beautiful inside, but it just looks like they're still working on it. And that's okay. It'll probably be really big when they finish. But the building is certainly impressive in its size and its effectiveness as a worship center and a music hall. Its beauty and acoustical function are far more than I expected when I was walking, I don't know, 100 yards or so to see a little chapel. Well, I certainly expected more than I saw. Calling it a worship building is, wow, I don't know. It should have been. It just goes on and on. But our scripture tells us that Jesus took the opportunity to teach any who would listen during the daytime and at every opportunity. And his example has been copied so many times. I clearly recall our first grade school teacher. See, I can remember way back yonder, but I don't remember what I did an hour ago. When our first grade school teacher, Mrs. Overmeyer, took advantage of really good weather and shade trees that I found out later were in her front yard, and instead of staying in a schoolroom that was not air-conditioned or anything, she took our first grade class to her front yard, and we sat under a shade tree, and we practiced reading, I don't know what, but I remember the situation. But having learned and retained the practice of making people comfortable while you're visiting with them or telling them things, I did learn it, and I took a group of young people, average age of about 12, on a trip to a scouting ranch in northern New Mexico, called Philmont by name, but not very many of us here are probably scouting. I took along lots of things, but most of all, the things that I took were a Bible that was very small, because any place that I went with the kids, I had to be ready for them to practice reading. They learned that when they found me, they would find a Bible close by, and I probably asked one of them to read. And some of them were anxious to read, but others were afraid that if they read, everybody would hear them, and that would be wrong. But this particular trip, we got up relatively early one given morning, and we had breakfast, and we cleaned up after breakfast, and we spent most of our morning hiking about a dozen miles until it was getting close to lunchtime. You know, the time is when your stomach starts growling, you know it's time for groceries. And when you have a dozen or so kids, you can hear them also. But when we stopped for lunch, we stopped, and I knew we were going to read scripture, but no one else did. And I had a really good way of picking the scripture I was going to read. I stand my Bible on its back and flop it open. And wherever it is, I put my finger on the page, and that's the scripture we were going to read. And it's kind of easy to do it that way because nobody knew that's what I was doing. But I would say, I need a volunteer to read. And it was kind of neat to watch them see who was going to wait the longest. But we had found our particular pleasant place, and we had our lunch, and we read our scripture. Then we discussed, what did the scripture tell us? And that's when you watch the brain start kicking in and working. What can I say? I don't want to sound stupid, but I don't want to sound like I knew what I was talking about. And on, you know, preteens don't want to get embarrassed if they can avoid it. But when we get through talking about the Bible, then where did we go this morning? From the time we left our campsite until we stopped here, what did we see? At one spot on that morning hike, there was a fellow scout leader who said, I don't know how anyone could hike in these mountains and not know who built them. These are obviously the work of somebody bigger than any of us or all of us combined. God built it. And ask him to repeat it in front of the group. Well, that didn't work too well, but I can copy sometimes. But getting everyone to remember how pretty the rocks and the trees were, we started out that morning at about 3,500 feet above sea level. When we stopped for lunch, we were almost exactly at 10,000. It was not an easy hike. And I didn't find anybody when I offered the opportunity that anybody wanted to do some push-ups or jumping jacks, and nobody, they were all quite ready to just eat. But each of our volunteers in scouting are given opportunities to teach the scouts. And well, somehow or another, I wound up with the title of being the chaplain for our organization. And that's okay with me. I can get up and say something wrong over and over. I don't need a pulpit in the church to do that. I can do that anywhere. But as our scouts learn new skills, we keep tabs on what they have been taught, and then we review them. And we discover what they learned. And there was one young man that was, you know, he seemed to be just about the oldest among our scouts, and I picked on him a little bit. But as a member of the group of leaders, I was at his board of review, and I picked him apart to find out what he knew. And among other things, he really was ready for his board of review to be promoted to Eagle Scout. And I asked him about his religious maturity because a scout is religious. And he says, well, it's not as good as I'd like for it to be. And I says, well, tell me about it. And I found out more in the next 5 minutes than I really wanted to know about him, but I was also honored that he shared. There was a tough life for him at home. He was the oldest of the family other than his mom. His dad had passed away several years earlier, and he was basically the not quite breadwinner in the family, but he was still in school. He was a senior in high school and he was going to graduate that spring. And he had to work a full-time job. And some of the neighbors around where the Boy Scout troop was located volunteered to let him mow their lawns in exchange for a payment. So on Sunday mornings and Saturday mornings, he was doing that. He had a 40-hour-a-week job, and the company that he worked for allowed him to be off in the evenings when there were scout things going on. And he worked probably 35 or 40 hours a week, getting a 40-hour-a-week paycheck, because his mom couldn't provide sufficient income to cover for their needs. And so I thought I was talking to a kid, but he had already passed that role by and become a young adult. And among his many things, he had to be a kid among the kids and a controller when mom hadn't gotten home from work yet. And since he was the oldest, he was responsible to have the kids do their homework and their evening chores and all these things. So he was wearing several hats on a head that was so young that it shouldn't have been used for that. But I went up thinking I was going to talk to a kid, and I talked to a very mature young man. Learned a lot from him that day. But among the many things that I learned, he was someone who you could count on. He says that he wished he could go to church more. He really did. And he was glad that I took the Bible with us when we went on campouts, because then they could read the Bible. No one had an excuse for, gee, I was too busy. And he enjoyed it. He became one of my best volunteer readers. But our scripture tells us that Jesus spent his days teaching in the temple mostly, and then at night he would go up onto the Mount of Olives and spend his night visiting with God. You know, I've heard it over and over that when you're going to challenge your knowledge, it's good to prompt yourself on the way. And he would go up and plan what he was going to teach people the next day or the next week. And he probably never told anyone that he was making it up the night before. But among more things that he did was he spent his night talking to God and planning how much he was going to tell us that day, the next day. And anyway, what a model for clergy persons later. And what a model was the widow in the story. She would never be comfortable with her ability to give money to the church. That she probably had such a limited lifestyle that it was just impossible to live comfortably. And we are not told about her family, if she had children or what. She was a widow, and that's all we know for sure. But then she made her best gift to the church, probably every day. We don't know for sure. But the Boy Scout, about whom I had learned so much, was also a model person, not only for other scouts, but other scout leaders. And when I questioned him about how much he knew about religious maturity, I learned that he was far more knowledgeable than I had given him credit for. but he regretted that he didn't attend church regularly, and he wished that he could. And he quit being a beginning Boy Scout that day. He was now an Eagle Scout, a leader, a teacher, and all sorts of things. But he found, he cut out one of his weekend jobs and started going to church because he thought he ought to. And I could never argue with that. But among the many things that I would love to say today is I am so glad that everyone is here today, and I have the opportunity to stand and talk for a few minutes and maybe even say something useful in that process and in that time frame. And if I didn't, well, just pretend like I did, okay? And Ted will be back next week, and you'll probably hear a much better sermon without any effort. But it's a privilege to be able to come and spend a little bit of time sharing a little bit of knowledge and passing everything on. And I'll be glad to go and share it with my neighbors. They're pretty easy to talk to. But having said all of these, and oh yes, what shall I do? Or what should I do? I don't remember.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Congregation, please be seated.
Now?
There we go.
Oh, shucks.
All right, now we hear you.
Okay. I have to be careful what I say now.
All right. So our invitation can be found on page 12 of the hymnal. And so I'll begin and just follow along. All right. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God,
We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law.
We have rebelled against your love.
We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
A great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
set it up so that we have to be told what to do. Receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Feed on him in faith. Thank you. These mechanical gadgets get the best of me real easy. Because our Lord's Prayer was used earlier in our service, I will use Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 for our benediction. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And as we depart from here today, let us be careful of the traffic and be dangerous without even trying. Remember those and pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join together here again next Sunday and receive the message that Pastor Ted will bring us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son.
Would you stand for our closing hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High? Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.